In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's probably a good thing that we have a lectionary, because I don't think I'd ever pick this particular gospel to preach on if it were left up to me. It's not a very friendly sounding thing here. The apostles, not the crowd, not even the disciples, but the apostles, that inner 12. And granted, Judas Iscariot was one of them, but that comes later. Now, it's still that hand-picked group of men that Jesus had with him. And they're the ones coming and saying, increase our faith. And to my ears, at least, and I think to theirs, it sounds pious. Lord, we want to have more faith. Increase our faith. You know, you don't go to God and ask for a new bicycle or, Lord, give me a Mercedes-Benz or whatever it was. You want to ask for spiritual things. And faith is a spiritual gift, according to Paul. What's wrong with saying increase our faith? It sounds like a good thing to ask for. But Jesus' response here is bring in the snark. You know, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, which we all know is very tiny, right? It's nothing at all. It's an iota's of faith. If you had just a little bit of faith, you could say to the mulberry tree, you know, throw yourself in the ocean and be planted there, and it would obey you. In Matthew's gospel, in the parallel scripture here, they don't ask to increase their faith, but Jesus talks about faith and says if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could tell this mountain to go throw itself into the sea. So I guess a mulberry tree is a step up. Seems a little more likely, perhaps. But still, Jesus seems to really be criticizing. You should already have faith. It's kind of what he seems to be saying. And then it goes right into this whole slavery metaphor, which here in the South really doesn't sit well with us. We have a lot to baggage with this. But the idea of, you know, who among you, if you had a slave, when they came in from the field or from tending the trees or whatever it is slaves do, you're going to say to them, hey, let me feed you supper. No. They're going to feed you supper. Then maybe later they can get something. That's the way you should be asking to increase your faith. You should be asking, how much more can I do? That's not the Jesus we like and want to see. And like I said, left up to me, I probably wouldn't preach on this, but it's here, and I think it's important to look at it and to try to understand it in light of what else we know about Jesus Christ. Because we do know Christ to be the Savior of the world. The one who, although God, gave that up to become incarnate, to be a slave. That's the way he's described in Scripture. Not high and mighty and lording it over everyone, but, you know, born in a stable. Friends of shepherds. Grows up to eat with prostitutes and tax collectors of all people. And this is the Jesus that's talking. So how do we understand this and know that Jesus is not some jerk? He's the Son of God. He's the incarnation of the God who is love. What does this mean? Well, part of it is this idea of wanting cheap faith, of not wanting to have to work for it. Just give us faith. You know, God, if you just give me faith, I'll be fine because I don't need anything else. But sometimes faith is something you have to work for. Sometimes faith is something you have to work through. Now, when I was growing up, faith was seen as very important. It was very, very Protestant, the sola fidelis, by faith alone. If you don't have faith, how can you possibly be a Christian? That's why I love the Episcopal Church, because we understand faith a little differently. That faith and doubt are not opposites. They're complements. If you don't doubt, you can't have faith. How can you have faith in a certainty? If you know beyond all doubt that this or that is true, you don't have faith. You don't have struggle. You don't have work to do. And we always have work to do. And I think that's a better way of understanding what Jesus is saying here, that he's not condemning them for being lazy. He's saying there's always work to do. Because we can get complacent, because we do a lot of work. Here at St. James, we do wonderful things. Harvest Bazaar raises tons of money that go out into the world and does good things. Annas's children work so hard to make real children's lives better, to give them a future they may not have. We do so many good things here that sometimes we can think, well, we're doing plenty. And this is a stark reminder that you never finish doing the good work of God in Christ. We never finish. The other side to that is that we're never finished. We individually have never gotten to the point where we can do no more. We always have use and value in the family of God. No matter our age, our physical condition, no matter where we are in life, we still have value and worth and can still do things to further the kingdom of God. Even if we find ourselves shut in our homes, not able to get out, we still have value and worth in that we can pray. We can use those gifts that God has given us. And as we go through life, we may not be able to do the things we used to do, but there are still things that we do. There's still value in who we are and what we do. And so instead of thinking, well, my work is done, we think that work is done. What's the next work? Because until we draw our final breath, we have value and worth for God. And then after that, we receive our reward. So we can never sit back on our laurels or think that we have nothing to offer. Each one of us does. After all, we're created in the image and likeness of God. And how can that ever be of no value? So yeah, Jesus uses some pretty harsh words here, but I think they're a good reminder of the work that we have to do. Each week I send you out to go and do the things that God has given us to do. Me too. Because we leave here and there's so much to be done. And we want to make sure that we don't despair at the magnitude of the task and think, what's the point? But always to remember there's more to be done and there's more that we will do, that we can do, that God has given us the grace to achieve. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.